B-Pod Studios.
Dragic got tangled up, and they are taking Tatum out of the game with 2:48 to go.
The pass was actually behind him. When they're saying Dragic pulled him into the body.
That was one of the worst officiated games I've ever seen.
Ever?
Ever. That was awful.
Ever.
I mean, Tatum's fifth foul. I mean, come on, man. Some of those fouls. Listen, Stan does a good job. If he agrees, he agrees. But he disagreed a lot. There was some awful officiating out there tonight.
Jason Tatum scores 29.
The man who got all the calls.
Or fouling out, yeah.
You hear that?
I know you're not complaining.
I didn't get no calls.
Out there playing fullback as a center?
That's right. Running you over, little man.
Okay.
Real quick before we get back into the Celtics, I got to tell you, I'm freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk is buying Twitter, and it's going to get really bad.
As opposed to what? It's pretty bad.
That's exactly
now.
My point.
Yeah,
that's exactly. I was being sarcastic.
I've got
that's
chills.
Exactly my point.
Yeah, there's a lot of people losing their mind.
Well,
right
first
now.
Of all, I don't my account. I don't even have one now. It's for some. Just because they stole my account doesn't mean it's not a reputable business. Feel free to. I support their business. I mean, if you go to @FredTutcher, you'll see that it's some crypto thing. I don't doubt the validity of it. And good on Twitter for being really responsive to me saying, now, listen, I haven't been spending night and day trying to get back to it, but I have emailed them and said, hey, you know, because they changed the email on my account and everything.
How do you think they got your email?
Because I think anyone can get your email whenever they want.
Okay, because I didn't know if there was like a message that you got from Twitter that you responded to.
No.
Oh, okay, all right. Because I know that Joe Murray had his Facebook stolen.
Yes.
And I think that he said it was because he responded to something.
Right.
And, you know, it's one of those things where it looks legit and you put in your... I don't respond to any of those.
I don't respond to anything. The only thing... I've almost been successfully phished on PayPal. But at the last moment, I realized, I clicked on the... who sent it, and, like, it wasn't PayPal.com. It was PayPal. You know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, no. No. And with Twitter, I don't know. And Twitter gets sent... Anything from Twitter would get sent to my work account. That's why I have the blue check mark.
Okay,
and I ignore everything from there. So.
Do you know Jasmine, one of my good friends? Yes. She's okay. She ended up having something. This is maybe like 2 months ago. I saw her a tweet from her that said, "Hey, I ordered a PS5. This is right around Christmas. She goes, I ordered a PS5 and they accidentally sent me two. And if anybody wants this, just DM me." And she took a picture of this box that had two different PS5s in it. And I saw that a bunch of people had responded to her. And it ends up that her Twitter had been hacked. And that was the scam. And everyone that was contacting the DM was also getting hacked into as well. And so, I mean, she felt awful because, and then, of course, it was just like with yours, Fred, for a period of like 2 hours, it was like a tweet every like 2 minutes.
Well, the thing was, is that the first person I reached out to was you.
Mm-hmm.
Because Louth and Adam 12 both texted me and said, your account's been hacked. And again, I was at my daughter's softball game. And I don't have the password. I don't even know what my password to my Twitter account is. But it's on my laptop at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad that it wasn't like a bunch of racist stuff.
Yeah.
Or like nude stuff. Because no matter what, like the time of day or like the evidence of where I was, there's a good portion of people that never would have believed that it was.
Sure, of course.
but it's funny, like people are like freaking out at Elon Musk buying Twitter to get off Twitter. What do you want with Twitter? How it's the misinformation and the way that it's run, it's terrible. I can't imagine it getting any worse. What could get worse about it?
Here's the biggest fear for people. As I said, I'm like you. Just get off if you don't want to be a part of it. Is that it could have like people like white supremacists who have been kicked off because of hate speech, or possibly people who have like with the six, like the January 6th thing, who could spur illegal activity.
They've already done it, though. Like, it's already been done.
But
did you know that, like, one of Sandler's dudes that's in all his movies was one of the...
Yeah. I did know that.
Like, how weird is that? That's, like, the super stoner guy, like, was...
I don't think it's that guy. I don't know. It's a different guy. I don't think it's him.
It's not the guy with the cross eyes. I think it's the guy that was in Graham...
Drive, Monkey, drive!
Yeah. I think it was
him. Is it him? Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's interesting.
But
I think that's the fear.
They've already succeeded in doing that. I mean, Twitter already has done all that. So Twitter's done everything it can do. I mean, it can't get any worse.
I mean, it would be funny if he just shut it down.
That would be fantastic.
If he bought it and just shut it down?
Yeah, the guy inherited all his money. Yeah, just take your money. It's $400 million. What does it matter to you?
And $44
billion. Oh, I'm sorry, $44 billion.
That's a lot more than billion. And apparently he didn't even have that liquid. He had to, like, get, like, a loan for it.
Yeah. Well, that's why they don't pay taxes.
Yeah, right.
Because everything they do is they get these massive loans, mm-hmm. and then they don't pay taxes on them. So, $44 billion. So, like, yeah, $44 billion. You know, yeah, shut it down.
I don't know if it's good or if it's bad. All I know is that they said that there might be an edit feature, which is about time.
I just don't know what more harm it could do. Like, it's caused so much harm to the country and to the world. I don't know what Elon Musk could do to make it even worse. Because every scenario you just gave me has already happened. I mean, these things are not good. These social media sites are not good. They spread misinformation. They're terrible, terrible. Terrible for kids.
I just want there to be somebody to buy Facebook and that says nobody over the age of 60 can use it because apparently nobody knows how.
Eliminate 75%.
All right. There is a girl. No, you can't do that. Do you remember the girl that was involved in Playboy that you used for bits in Atlanta?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I'm friends with her on Facebook, which is funny because she has, like, a kid and she, like, just all she does is brag about, like, all the things she buys them. But she's still hot, mm-hmm. and she'll take, like, a picture of herself in a bikini, and then you notice how on Facebook, like, when girls put pictures of themselves in bikinis, like, no guys respond to it, because, right, it's creepy, like, you're not going to respond to it. No, not this girl. There's dudes that are, like, 80, like, hachi-machi, like, I love it, and they're, like, know her. Like, and so I just, and she's like, thanks a lot. And so that, and then I start exploring their Facebook pages. And, they are none too happy with the president. I will tell you that right now. And the long haul trucking industry is not where it used to be. But I'll tell you, it's just funny. Like, Elon Musk is going to screw it all up. Oh, that's why all these kids, that's why suicides are up and all this stuff with kids. Ah, it's going to get even worse. Okay. It's. We can't handle it. We can't handle it as a society. It's so... start reading about what it does to your kids. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, sure. I mean, there's been mega studies, and there was that one that just... What was it? Like, maybe 6 months ago was all over 60 Minutes about TikTok and how, like, teen girls, it's the worst thing possible for them to be exposed to. And, yeah, I mean, and there's been studies. Like, it was years of studies they did on what it does to them and how... You know, awful that they can treat themselves. After.
This Jonathan Haidt guy, HIDT, is like I guess you could call him like an intellectual academic. And he wrote something about how, like, America was getting really dumb, and here's why it's getting so dumb, and predicted the future. And then he just wrote something like, this happened so fast, like way, way faster than I ever predicted it. Mm-hmm. And then he talks, he's been writing these articles about how we are far dumber as a country than we might have ever been. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to respond. You mentioned a second ago how rich people don't pay taxes. Elon Musk has paid the greatest amount of taxes of any American in U.S. history.
He did, yeah. So No, you're right. Musk did.
My bad.
Yeah, he did just this past year. I think it was, like, voluntarily because he sold all of his, a bunch of that stock. All right. He paid all that money. He did.
But John, you know that.
But Jeff Bezos,
like,
though,
Bezos, like, paid
not.
Less than me.
Yeah, Elon Musk is the outlier.
All right, so I apologize, John.
Yeah, you're right about that.
You're correct about Bezos. But you know that these other guys that are worth this amount of money avoid those taxes by borrowing money, right?
We all avoid taxes as best we can. I mean,
yeah. Well, I did a hell of a good job of it. I wish I knew how to do it.
But John, you do find it strange that we all pay taxes, but then you take a look at Jeff Bezos and he pays almost zero taxes.
Well, I mean, I think people get stuck in the whole percentage thing. I remember when Obama was going against Romney, or Obama was doing the whole the fair share thing.
John, what is your why the allegiance with the ultra wealthy? Are you a billionaire? Perhaps we could become friends.
I've actually worked for a couple of billionaires, and they have created so many jobs. And the whole
I didn't say that they didn't create jobs, and I'm not. What am I? I didn't go on an anti-capitalist rant. I said that a lot of these super wealthy just don't pay taxes. I didn't say that they didn't deserve their money.
I think that's you're just parroting propaganda. I mean, they pay taxes.
Rich, Google how much Bezos paid in taxes last year. And it's less than I did.
Okay, so that's one guy. But then there's plenty of people who are millionaires, multimillionaires, and they're paying plenty of taxes.
Yeah,
and
I know.
They're paving the roads. So I'm not a billionaire, but this anti-rich mentality that we've acquired.
It's not anti-rich.
20 years.
Who?
Yeah, it is.
What did I say that it was anti-capitalist? First of all, these guys, Bezos inherited his money. By the way, I don't like the amount of taxes I have to pay because I'll tell you why, because I have to pay taxes at a level which is like I'm the idiot that's like right there. So I have to pay taxes that are ridiculous. And so, it pisses me off when I see that I'm not anti-capitalist. I don't think that you should have to, give 70% of your money. And in fact, the capital gains tax is ridiculous. The inheritance tax is ridiculous. I am fiscally conservative.
And by the way, if someone like Jeff Bezos was to pay the same percentage that we were paying, then all of us would pay less taxes. Jeff Bezos, by the way, paid under 1% of what he earned between 2014 and 2018 in taxes. Dude, that's insane.
Well, I'm not a big believer in the percentage game because, as I said earlier, Romney paid millions of dollars in taxes and Obama was trying to paint him as some kind of a cheapskate. So I think.
All right. What do I care about what Romney did? I mean, but if the guy's a billionaire and he wants to email me and hang out, give me some stuff. I'm all for
just give
that.
You free things? Yes.
No, it pisses me off when I have to pay a ton of taxes. Because I was like an idiot. I switched to stupid brokerage firms, and then I had to sell some of the stock, and then I had to pay the capital gains on it. And here I am like an idiot writing these checks and getting them stolen out of the mail. All right. Well, anyway, my point was that how much worse could Twitter be? Or how much worse could social media be?
I think we just basically got the audio equivalent of that social media that we're all worried about right there.
I mean, he's got something to do. He's involved somehow with the Romney campaign, and I don't know. Or was involved with the Romney campaign. I don't know.
I mean, that's the billionaire he was working for.
Sure. Yeah.
Is Romney a billionaire?
I know that his wife has tons of money.
Yeah.
He was Bain, but his wife. No, I'm thinking of John Kerry. John Kerry is Theresa Hines Kerry.
Kerry.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No. Romney's Bain. Yep.
Yeah. Romney's Bain Capital. Mm-hmm. So, but listen, man, he's a lone wolf. He's doing things. He doesn't stick with the party.
Kerry's the ketchup guy. He's the one married to the Hines. Yes.
Yes,
that's right. The Hines fortune.
Yeah, that's why I always go Hunts. I don't have time for him.
Not down with the 57 varieties?
I'm a big Hunts guy.
You just want the one variety.
All I do is buy ketchup, John.
I understand.
We all have these problems.
I'll be honest. There is a difference between the ketchups.
There is.
A massive. Like, I
and
mean,
there's a difference between catsup and ketchup as well.
Is there still sell catsup? They sell that still?
Yeah.
Catsup?
Yeah, they do. Catsup. That's a
How about that? I didn't know
that's
that.
A down-home kind of ketchup.
Huh.
Catsup.
I got it.
Yeah, that's when you know you're down-home.
That was Hilton Head? They have catsup in Hilton Head?
Yeah, usually what I do when I travel is I go
look
to
for ketchup?
I go to the Piggly Wiggly and I go look at what they call the ketchup.
I sounded like you were in that environment recently. My apologies.
All right. I'm not smart enough for these kind of conversations. My head's going to explode. All right. When we come back, we will indeed talk about your Boston Celtics in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It really is just a reality check of just how no one cares.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown comes out to get it against Dragic. Jaylen, left-hand dribble. Curry picks him up. Jaylen finds a man in the corner. It's Horford open. Three!
Horford's good. Big ones, boy.
What a series Al Horford has had. Boston by 10. 7:36 to go in game four.
Yeah, I mean, we heard it. We all heard it. It's funny to us. Because we don't duck or dodge nobody. So, you know, and that's part of the game. You know, we're going to have to play him eventually. So you might as well get it out the way now. So, I mean, it does feel good. We knew what we were capable of. We knew what we wanted to come in here and do, regardless of what anybody else did. And that's okay. It's us versus everybody, and that's the mentality we have, and that's the mentality we're going to keep.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. In fairness, it's hard to keep track of this Boston series because I'm so wrapped up in the Utah-Dallas series.
I watched some of that because it was on the plane yesterday. I mean, I love watching Luka play. I mean, he's obviously
I do
dynamic.
Too. I do, too, because it's like this guy is does not look at all like an athlete.
Not in shape.
He's not graceful.
I think
it's the phrase you're looking for.
Yeah.
He's overweight at this point.
He's a smaller version of Jokic in a way that he just doesn't look like he should be there.
Yeah.
He's just kind of weird and lumbering.
Luka used to be in shape. He's not now. And still, Dallas is great.
Which is good because, what is he, 22? So it's good that he's already fallen out of shape.
So after this series, obviously going into it, everyone thought Kevin Durant was one of the best players on the planet. Have you kind of reevaluated where he stands? And also, have you reevaluated where Jason Tatum stands?
Yes.
Because I think it's done something for both.
All right, here's the deal is that Durant's getting older and he's still a top five player. He's on the decline, though, but who knows how slow a decline it will be. Here's what's going to hurt Tatum is that he's not electric enough. Now, he might very well turn into, despite my bold predictions when he was drafted, he might turn into, you know, the second, third best player in the NBA. But the thing is, he's not Ja Morant.
It's true.
And he's not going to, he doesn't do stuff where you're like, oh my God. I mean, he's just really solid.
Yeah. Jalen does at times. Like, Jalen will go into like a Tomahawk. You know, he'll do that. Rob Williams is a highlight machine. Like, you know, he's so big. His rejections are monstrous. You know, when he, you know, does the lobs, like, that's always something you don't see a lot of Jason Tatum flashy play.
He's just consistently Adrian Dantley. It reminds me a lot of Adrian Dantley.
Yeah, I was going to compare him kind of to Kevin Durant, who isn't really spectacular either. He just makes shot after shot after shot, and tough shots too against tall guys. And you saw Tatum do a lot of that last night.
That's fair.
Big moments.
Yeah, that's a fair comparison when you think about it. It's like, I mean, because, you know, Durant's not like super splashy. He just makes big shots.
No, he just scores 39 points in an elimination game.
So what the thing is going to be, Tatum, if you're reading, you know, like if you can sift through a Ringer basketball article if you have five hours.
You got a machete to whack your way through that
right.
thing.
It will be one of those things that they'll be arguing that Tatum is like, you know, the first or second best player in the NBA. But in terms of like star power and guys that SportsCenter are going to highlight, he's just not that guy.
I will say,
I mean,
this.
Who would you rather watch it play? I mean,
Ja Morant. Ja Morant. I know where you're going.
It would be Ja Morant.
Yes,
and Ja Morant's not as good as Jason Tatum.
No, he's not. But he is much more. He's more athletically gifted. I mean, but he's not as good a player. I think this
season, I'd rather watch Trae Young.
Yeah,
I love Trae Young.
I think this season by Jason Tatum sets him up for an MVP run next year, depending upon how the Celtics do.
Well, here's
if they finish 42 and 40, then no. But if the Celtics step up next year and win 55 or 60 games, and Tatum is this guy again, he's going to win the MVP.
And if guys vote by position, like that whole like I can't have Jokic and Embiid on the same All NBA team. He should make a ton of all NBA teams.
Well, Tatum's also respected by everyone in the league. You've heard how LeBron talks about him. Yeah. I mean, I think that people love Jason. And I think it's because, for what you're saying, he's pure basketball. It's not flashiness. It's not showiness. He just seems to have a very high basketball IQ. And what's weird is that we all were waiting for him to become the offensive player he is now. But am I the only one who is shocked at how good and how much he's progressed this year defensively? Like, defensively, he's become one of the better two-way players in the league.
And here's what you learn is that when you get drafted when you're 18, 19 years old, I mean, you're going to put – you're not physically there yet.
Look at his body. That's just from, like, when he was drafted to now.
First of all, he's grown.
Yeah.
He's put on an inch or two. And then, yes, he's a completely different body type. Because Tatum coming out wasn't the most athletic kid in the world. And he wasn't, like, broad. So I was like, what the hell? I'm like, what's the big deal with Tatum? He just seems like some dude that went to Duke. And he, credit to him, he put on the muscle and, you know, has matured physically, and here we are.
Well, one of my favorite stats from this series is one that Chris Forsberg watched all the tape and compiled everything. And this morning, he put this out. He said, final stats for Jason Tatum as a primary defender on Kevin Durant per NBA tracking. First of all, just think about reading this before this series started, of what you thought Kevin Durant was before you saw these last four games. And now think of that with a whole fresh mindset. 30 minutes of matchup time and 23 seconds, 139 possessions. Kevin Durant against Jason Tatum as the defender was only able to get 12 points. He was 3 for 18 from the field, 16% shooting, 0 for 5 from 3 points, 2 blocks, 2 shooting fouls, and Jason Tatum caused 12 turnovers.
I think.
Yeah, no, I don't get those stats.
I'm not taking away a lot.
You don't get that?
Because they say primary defender.
I was just going to say that. Now, Tatum was the primary defender. He was the guy who made the initial point of contact. But I think we can all agree it was team defense on Durant in this series.
So that is true. But
I don't like that stat. And I'm praising Tatum here.
He was the first one there. He drove Durant towards the help. But that's more of an awareness of team defense than it is being a lockdown defender on a wing.
But when you think of this series, who is the guy that you first think of when you think of the guy covering Kevin Durant? It's Jason Tatum.
Yeah, but it's
the first guy you think
of. It's just not the way basketball works.
Well, Fred, then maybe you're going to like this stat a little bit better.
No, please throw it at me.
Grant Williams' final stat line defending Kevin Durant. Your favorite guy.
Now, Williams was great last night.
Well, I mean,
he was.
His three-point shooting has become
something
special.
Just talking defensively.
He was efficient defensively,
he was really, really good on Irving and on Durant last night.
13 minutes of matchup time with Kevin Durant. 70 possessions. 18 points, 6 for 20 from the field, 30% field goal percentage, 0 for 4 from three-point land, caused 5 turnovers and 3 blocks. That is Grant Williams right there, a man.
Fred Tutcher, your thoughts.
You dismissed.
Wait, Grant Williams. In all seriousness, Grant Williams.
Like an Uno card that doesn't match the deck.
I can play it for you if you want. Grant Williams blocked him 3 times?
Yep. 3 blocks on Kevin Durant.
Oh, wow.
That's impressive.
Grant Williams was great.
How is he that good? I keep thinking that. Like, you're not tall.
Well,
you're really not like anything.
No, he's not tall. He's not overly athletic.
here's, here's the thing. I mean, I had a listener tweet this to me last night, and I agree with him. The Celtics, when they won the whole thing in 2008, had a bench player by the name of James Posey, who was a three-point threat, guarded multiple wing positions.
That's a pretty good comparison.
And yeah, I like it a lot. Based on what I saw last night, this year's version of James Posey is Grant Williams.
Yeah, I don't have that luxury of getting Twitter. Because a cool NFT is taken over my account.
You know, somebody said that Tatum is today's version of Tim Duncan, underrated superstar, doesn't have the flash and more acclaimed stars. Not until he gets a wizard tattoo on his chest is he anything like Tim Duncan.
He's got some pretty dumb tattoos. He's focused on that back a little too much.
Now,
he's got like nothing except that. And then he's got like his kids tattooed on his legs. And you're like,
chances that Grant Williams gets a wizard tattoo, I would say, very 100%. High.
Chances that he gets a tattoo are zero. No, thank you, sir.
But this is it. I mean, this has been the coming out party this season.
Yes, of course.
For Jason Tatum.
He might be all NBA. And the way he would be all NBA is, again, they encourage them to vote by position. And so there's people that are hesitant to put Jokic and Embiid on their team. And if that's the case, which is ridiculous because both of them should be all NBA, but it's really a positionless league. But if that's the case, then Tatum very well might be all NBA. And by the way, how much do you want the Pelicans to win this series?
Oh, so much.
Lots.
And you know what? And then you have to start looking at what's going on with Zion Williamson.
So you know my questions with Simmons that like he just might be shook and like just doesn't, he can't go out mental. Zion's just a selfish fatso that thinks he's too good for that team. And God bless that team for at least making a run. And if they can beat Phoenix has that happened before?
Injuries.
In a seven-game series?
Yeah, I mean.
An eight beating one? Oh, yes.
In a seven-game series?
Yep, it happened with Dallas that one year they were supposed to win it all.
Because I know Denver did it.
That was a best of five. Denver beat Seattle. That was Mutombo. Right.
Yep.
Yes.
All right, so that, yeah, okay. So, but if they do that and teach that kid a lesson,
because he was hinting about going to the Knicks, and there was that whole thing that happened this past year. Right.
Send him.
Go to the Knicks now.
Send him to the Knicks. I'd love to see that happen. A guy who plays 80, is supposed to play 82 games a year, who can't get his weight under control.
By the way, Ben Simmons and Zion Williamson, two guys who I am sick of seeing them dunking. I mean, I don't know if you talked about this, but did you see the video of Ben Simmons saying, hey, make sure you get this? And then he dunked and he goes, you know, put that out there.
Yes.
And Zion, every time that they talk about the guy, you see like another video of him dunking in practice.
Did you hear the thing about the first video of him dunking?
They
said that it was on like a springy floor, like it was like on this like weird floor.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, I did.
Oops. Yeah. Where do you get a springy floor?
There's just like it was like a, it wasn't
WWE? Like,
no. Yeah. He was taking some shots from the Undertaker. No, like it wasn't like a wood basketball court. It was like a rubbery, like
multi-purpose type of thing. Okay,
it's like a Sky Zone.
Not quite. But that'd be funny. I just like that theme. I like that. Too good to play there. It's an NBA franchise. And by the way, like New Orleans. I mean, listen, you're probably
Lawrence has a good team around
him,
too.
They got two really solid players, and you were talking about breakout years. I mean, Brandon Ingram is having a big one.
Did you see any of the Mardi Gras floats that they put out there this year with Zion on it? It's just him eating like gigantic like piles of hamburgers.
Fat. Great. How old do you think that kid is?
Zion? 21?
I just like at 21 being so entitled. That I'm too good to play on an NBA franchise. The only franchise, there's two, Oklahoma City and Sacramento, that I'd want to get the hell out of there. Anything else, NBA franchise.
Here's why Oklahoma wouldn't be as bad as Sacramento. Sacramento is just, it's people just don't care. It's you're just there and nobody even notices. But in Oklahoma City, you're a rock star.
Right.
That's the only game in town.
Yep.
And if you play there and you play well, people will love you. Nobody cares about Sacramento.
Look at Memphis. I mean, they're having the time of their lives.
Yep. Yeah, it's true. And that's
they might not win. They might not get out of this round, but they're having the time of their lives.
Yep.
All right.
I want to hear this Grant Williams Uno audio, if you don't mind.
It's not very long.
I don't care. I want to hear this.
What else is coming?
All right. Also, Fred, there is a rumor one of your favorite bands might be somewhat reuniting, and somewhat because there is a member who is dead, but the remaining members could be getting back together with a superstar.
Very interesting. All right, we'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Kutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right. We are Kutcher and Rich, and Rich, you did not hear this, but it is Grant Williams' nerd. I mean, he is a nerd.
Well, I mean, he is a self-admitted Magic the Gathering card game player.
And regardless of what he's talking about, I mean, he's like a total, like, spazzy nerd.
Well, he's the guy who did the whole Marvel character thing where he rolled all out to call me Batman. And Jason Tatum was like, no, I'm not calling you no damn Batman. Well, it's great. That might have been the moment we know that Jason Tatum has matured as a player.
And it's funny because, Rich, people were saying Jason Tatum's always got, like, his taking pictures with Grant Williams. And I said, well, if you wanted to, like, stay, make everyone think you were pure, wouldn't you take your picture with Grant Williams everywhere you go? He'd be like, you know, if there's, I feel like an old cliche, but, like, there's probably guys that my wife would be like, you're going out of town with that guy? But if I was like, I'm going out of town with Grant Williams, oh, that's okay.
Oh, you're good, man.
Yeah, that's safe. Right.
You're awesome. Yeah, or does it, no matter who you are, make you look like the super coolest guy in the world?
Well, that is a fact
just
as well.
In contrast.
All right, so the Bruins did this thing where they played a prank on Pasternak. It doesn't matter what it was. But the thing was they were on the plane, and everywhere was poker chips. They were just everywhere. Like, yeah. These guys gamble constantly. Everyone knows they gamble on the flights. Here is Grant Williams talking about team chemistry and how the team has bonded over the course of the season.
We were able to go to dinners. We're able to play cards, hang out. We play Uno on flight every flight. Like, that stuff is just like stuff you really, really look to and really say that brings a team together in just terms of continuity, in terms of camaraderie on the court, in terms of chemistry. That's just kind of huge for me.
First of all, you guys play Uno on the flight?
Yeah.
Gets pretty competitive. Is anything else involved?
Oh, no. It's literally the first time I feel like an NBA team can say they're doing something with no money involved, right? Playing Uno, and let's just say that Matt Ryan is the worst Uno player outside of the fits. Myself and Al are competitive, but we sit next to one another. So it's either one of us gets one that day, the other does. Same with Tice and is Smart. There's a couple guys, like, we play with like seven dudes. It's like me, Tice, Smart, Al, Broderick, Malik, even D. White sometimes, Matt, goes down the line. JB, we've had a huge group before. Like, we have these like six decks of Uno. Like, it's pretty dope.
Can you imagine Kevin Garnett from back in the day walking onto that airplane? You heard all the
Jordan
stories about the
what
fights.
What the F is wrong with you people? I got one word for you. Jordan.
Yeah, I know.
Jordan's put in $50,000 a hand and by the way, he names players there, and yesterday, he names like four guys. I'm like, huh? I knew Matt Ryan because I didn't know
who he was when he played the other day. Ryan's on this team.
Yeah, Joe and I had no idea who Matt Ryan was.
Yeah. He played at the very end of the season. I remember going, there's a guy named Matt Ryan.
They signed him at the end of the year to a two-way contract. Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, I have no hesitation to tell you that I didn't know who Matt Ryan was. And then he kind of throws in Jaylen Brown. I'm not believing that. Mm. He kind of throws that in at the end. Like, he's much more comfortable talking about like the guys you've never heard of.
I can, by the way, getting back to Jordan after seeing The Last Dance, I mean, Jordan would be playing cards in the back and then he'd see these guys playing Uno up front. Let's put $100,000 on this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Something
no,
like
he
that.
He would make it not fun yeah, I know. Real quick.
Like, yeah, him come and on. Him and Barkley, anyone like back then, I imagine Isaiah Thomas was the same way.
Well, there's a famous clip from The Last Dance or whatever that documentary is called where he's playing, is it quarters with the guy who's the security?
No, that's The
dude?
Last Dance. Yeah, yeah, the, yeah, guy, yeah. The shrug guy.
Yeah, he has yeah. the shrug. Thing, yeah. But I mean, apparently that legitimately pissed him off. It yeah. pissed it pissed off yeah. Michael Jordan not like to. Oh, I could just imagine Kevin Garnett walking in and seeing Grant Williams, those guys doing that.
What, you guys,
what the hell y'all doing?
And how, and like, how long is the Uno fun for? I mean, you take some long trips.
I'm thinking maybe that's good on the plane trip to Charlotte. Probably not good on the plane trip to L.A.
Well, the plane trip to Charlotte, maybe if your kids are there. All right, Rich, what is going on with this band?
So. Ever since the death of Eddie Van Halen, there has been talk between Alex Van Halen, the drummer of Van Halen, and David Lee Roth about potentially doing a Van Halen cover band tour. And the people that they've reportedly spoken with is Jason Newsted, for ex-Metallica bassist, to play bass, and Joe Satriani on guitar. Now, this rumor first came out there from an interview that Jason Newsted was doing with like some guitar magazine a couple of weeks ago. And then it was somewhat confirmed by Joe Satriani. Joe Satriani said, I've been talking with Alex and Dave for about a year about doing something, a tour or something like that, that was going to be a true tribute to Eddie and the Van Halen legacy. Now, I don't see Sammy Hagar's name thrown anywhere in here, but... last week, in a statement emailed to the fan site, Van Halen news desk David Lee Roth remarked, now just get ready, because it's in all caps, and it's yes. basically one giant run-on sentence. In my mind, Van Halen 4K in the age of COVID is going to require two of us for every position, Satriani and Lukather, Anthony and Newstead, oh, so Michael Anthony there, Al or Tommy Lee... Okay, so Tommy Lee on drums. Probably the only one who could do my job today would be Pink. And that was his only comment on
would
the
be Vince
thing.
Neil.
Yeah. The only one who could disappoint you as much as I can is Vince Neil.
Why don't they just get Stevie Vai and Bissonette and Sheehan?
And just get the David Lee Roth band back?
Get the David Lee Roth band back.
Who's Lukather?
I don't know who Lukather is.
Is Steve Lukather like the lead guitarist of Toto, that guy?
Oh, my God, John. You would be the king if you were right about that.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, did you Google it?
I Googled it. I'm not that good.
If you knew who the lead guitarist of Toto was, that's a Grant Williams level of
nerd. No. I can't take credit for that. I just looked. No. I'm not that good.
So, yeah, I mean, you would have to get the dude from Toto. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
I should have left it alone.
If you knew that David Lee Roth and Alex Van Halen were going to go on tour with Jason Newsted and Joe Satriani, Fred, would you see that show?
Well, I would imagine the venue would be gigantic. I'd imagine it would be Gillette Stadium.
Live from Harbor Lights.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they were playing the Wilbur.
Or whatever it's called now. I forget what it's called now.
I mean.
Hang on. Okay, so let's say you did get that tour together. They could play. You know what they play? They play Roadrunner. They'd play a 3,000-seat venue. Okay. And you know what? It would sell well.
Oh, of course.
Well, I mean, everyone wants to see. Joe's lost a little magic. Since Joe shaved the head, I don't know if he still has the magic.
I don't know if he does.
How old is Satriani now?
He's got to be in his 60s.
Man.
I mean, surfing with an alien, I mean, changed a lot of lives.
Were you a Satch guy or were you a Vi guy?
I mean, are these questions? I mean, Vi said it defeated David Lee Roth and created Unanimous Smile.
He did.
That when I wake up from my nap, Big Trouble is the song that wakes me up.
Did you ever hear the Steve Vai, Ozzy Osbourne story?
No.
Steve Vai wrote an entire album for Ozzy. It was after Zach left. Like, Zach was with him for a while, Zach Wilde. And so they brought in Steve Vai. Steve Vai wrote an entire album. Ozzy heard it and said, throw this trash away and do what it takes to get Zach back.
So then Sharon took it and used it and never paid him.
Actually, I'm not kidding. A couple of the Steve Vai songs are still on the album.
Yeah, and Sharon
didn't want anything to do with
it. And Sharon never paid him. And that's kind of the way things went with the Ozzy camp.
Except
when Sharon was having sex with Randy Rose.
Well, that was the rumor right there. Well, speaking of music, Duran Duran and Eminem lead the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame fan vote with Just Days
Gone. I am reading two books simultaneously, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I'm that much of an intellectual. I'm reading John Taylor from Duran Duran's book as we speak.
I think that there's some weird stuff that happened in that band, if I'm not mistaken.
I haven't gotten there yet. They've just released Girls on Film, where I am right now, which was a very sexy video that when you rented, you had to be rented from the video store. It was not played on MTV.
I did not know that. Well, Duran Duran has almost a million votes. Eminem lands a distant second with 672,000 votes, followed by Pat Benatar, The Eurythmics, and Dolly Parton, even though she said, "Don't put me on the bill." So they're first-time nominees, along with Beck, Lionel Richie, Carly Simon, and A Tribe Called Quest. Doesn't look like any of those were getting
votes. I love A Tribe Called Quest, but they basically have three albums that are of any consequence.
Then again, so does Nirvana.
Yeah, but Nirvana changed everything. I mean, you'd have to put every... What about De La Soul? Because I put De La Soul in before I put in...
Well, you know my opinion of De La Soul.
If you had to go Native Tongue bands...
Well, that would be Poison, because that was their album, Native Tongue, right? When they got Richie Kotzen in there after C Kick CC.
That's exactly what it was.
Let's get nerdy.
It was A Tribe Called Quest. It was... De La Soul, like Stetsasonic, and then it was Poison.
That's right. Man, that's right.
And that's when CC wore the African chain and wore dashikis. They spurned the gold chains and they wore the...
This came out just like Kid and Play?
Exactly. Okay. That's exactly.
Bobby Doll had the high top fade. Isn't that what it was called?
I mean, Unskinny Bop was an ode to the love of the big butt.
If you want to laugh at low budget videos, look at Unskinny Bop.
Oh, you telling me the animation is fantastic?
The animated girls are nice. Like, whoa, what's happening here?
I've been watching. Here's how sad my life is. I've been watching Totally Pauly on YouTube.
Oh, that's got to be great.
And there's one where... he's with Sam Kinison, and Kinison's eating with CeCe DeVille, and CeCe DeVille's like, "We got some major coming out. You're gonna love it on Skinny Bop. It's gonna be the greatest."
That's true.
There was a time where Pauly Shore got laid as much as any human being on the planet, and he was doing Totally Pauly.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Put Duran Duran in the Rock and Roll Hall. Why are they not already in there? They span generations.
I didn't mind Duran Duran, even though they were basically the equivalent of like a boy band. I didn't mind it,
but they played their own instruments, wrote their own songs.
Now that's the difference. They were not put
together by like some Svengali.
They got
together and legitimate.
American males.
I just like how he laughs. Just like, this dude slays so much.
All I know is that I'll be busy for about 30 minutes after the show watching the scene-by-scene breakdown of the Fast and Furious Supercharged ride over at Universal Studios.
Well, it sounds like it was a blast.
Oh, worst ride I've ever ridden, and it was great for that reason.
All right, that'll do it for us. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.